Well, good morning all. It's great we have a deficiency of ulcers. Well, it's great to see Keith coming out of retirement, isn't it? You know, sort of remembering all the things he did many years ago when he was a little boy himself. On Thursday, we celebrated the Feast of St. Patrick. And after the Gospel, I told them of a book I'd read about a man called Damon Shakarian. I mean, I read it years ago. It's amazing I can still remember his name, really. But he was a self-made millionaire in the Bible Belt of the southern states of America. And in gratitude to God for his good fortune, he decided that he would hire the local baseball stadium so that he could give a testimony to God's glory. It cost him a fortune to do that, as you can imagine, all the publicity and the advertising, the band and all the rest of it kind of thing. But on the big night, only a mere handful of people turned up. And he was devastated by that, and crestfallen, he went back to his Bible to try to understand why God had let this happen. After all, I was doing this for your glory, God. And there in St. Peter's letter, first letter, he found this. He said, "Each of you has been given a special grace, so put yourself at the service of others. If you are a speaker, speak in words that come from God. If you are a helper, help as though everything is done at God's orders, so that God may receive the glory." Bingo! He got it. He said, "I may be a useless speaker, nobody turned up to hear me, but I am a fantastic helper." So he hired the stadium again, spent all that money again, but this time he got the day's most famous preacher to do the speaking. Of course, it was a huge success. And I think there are two things to draw from this story. One is to find out what you are really gifted at and then use it for the common good. And at the same time, to acknowledge what you're no good at and leave that to somebody else. However, it can happen that you think you are gifted at something, but that God has other plans for you. For example, on Friday, I was at Jane O'Donnell's funeral at St. Kentigan's. Now, Jane, like her sisters, had trained to be a nurse, and she really enjoyed that for some years. But later, she changed careers to become a Catholic teacher, which turned out to be the real vocation that God was calling her to, because she was exceptional as a Catholic teacher. Not only did she give a living faith to her own children, all of whom are grown up now but who still practice, but also to the children that she taught and the parents that she nurtured and supported outside of school life, especially with preparation for the sacraments. So it's no wonder that the church was absolutely packed. There was standing room only, there were people outside. So when we do pray about our future, whatever stage of life we're at, leave an open mind for the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. You never know what may happen. When I was a little boy, I wanted to be a policeman. Look at me now. It was actually, a Catholic teacher who put the idea of priesthood into my head. And the second thing to draw from the story, I suppose, is that when you are doing something wonderful for God, never give up, which is easier said than done. Because sometimes never giving up demands incredible bravery, and that of course brings me back to St. Patrick. He was an extraordinary brave man in that, having escaped from slavery in pagan Ireland and became a priest, he made the choice to go back to Ireland to bring the gospel to his erstwhile slave masters. And if you want to put that into a modern context, imagine Nazarene Zaghari Ratcliffe volunteering to go back to Iran in a few years' time to try and convert her hostage takers. In today's scripture, it's the turn of Moses to go back. He had fled from Egypt, as perhaps you know, where he was wanted for murder, to the safety of the land of Midian. And while he was there, he'd married, he'd settled down, he was living quite a comfy life, really. And now God was asking him to go back to Egypt, where his fellow Hebrews were being persecuted, treated abominably, and stand up to Pharaoh, who was the world's most powerful man at the time. No wonder he objected. And then when he did go to Egypt, did all go smoothly? No, it definitely did not. For Moses, God's end game, I suppose like Putin's really, didn't seem to have been very well thought out. And although the people had been set free from this degrading slavery for all those years, they became Moses' biggest headache, dancing around a golden calf, worshipping idols and grumbling all the time about how life was better when they had lots of fresh food to eat. But he never gave up. And in the end, he got the job done. And St. Paul reminds us that we're on a similar journey to the promised land of heaven, and warns us that like Moses, we will have difficulties on the way. So it helps to remember that what persuaded him, what persuaded Moses to go back to Egypt, was his encounter with God on holy ground, where he learned that he would only be an instrument in the liberation of the people, not the liberator himself. He would be an instrument. God, it's God who sets his people free. And every time we come into church, we too are on holy ground where we encounter God. And although we don't take our shoes off, as the Muslims do when entering the mosque, we do bless ourselves as we enter, knowing we're coming into a holy place. And we do genuflect before the light of the world present in the tabernacle, symbolized by the burning light, or the burning bush, if you like, that's right beside it. He will speak to us, as we know, through his scriptures, encouraging us to live them with the strength that he will provide, reassuring us that, like Moses, in spite of all difficulties, all will be well. So we must be brave, and we must never give up. As we can see from the parable of the fig tree, on our journey, every Christian is expected to produce fruit for the growth of the kingdom. And there's a warning of what will happen if we don't. But so long as we are living, there will always be time to do so, using the gifts that we are blessed with, even if we think we're not particularly blessed, or even worse, that we're useless. Some people do think that, you know. No person on this earth is useless. I once saw a guy when I was up in Copenhagen there. He was coming towards me in a big t-shirt. It intrigued me, because on the front it said, "Stop telling me I'm good for nothing." And when he worked past, I looked at him, and on the back it said, "I can always be used as a bad example."